Hello, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining our quarterly investor call. We are very delighted to present our results for quarter four and the whole year 2021, even if we have faced challenging times with COVID and all difficulties with the energy markets and the price development. Actually, we have, of course, again, a difficult period of time, and I'd like to explain before we start the conference that we do not have any activities, no plants, no customers in Russia or in Ukraine or in these countries. And of course, we are watching carefully what's going on, especially in Poland or the countries around. I think it's a good idea to go through the details, and I'd like to hand over to Volker.
Thank you. Also welcome from my side. My name is Volker Metz, and I'm CFO of ProGroup. Yesterday we published the Q4 interim report. Please bear in mind that the results we presented there are still unaudited, so the data might change during the finalization of the annual audit, and the final data will be present in the annual report at the end of April. As always, we start the presentation with the highlights of the fourth quarter of 2021 and the market overview. The main part will be on the financial performance, and the third part includes the summary and outlook on ProGroup's operations. On page 5, you can see the highlights of the fourth quarter and full year 2021. In the fourth quarter, we realized again a strong order intake, which is typical for the fourth quarter. Compared to the previous fourth quarter and the beginning of 2021, order intakes were not as overheated, but still on a high level. In our corrugated board business, we achieved a growth rate of 11% in 2021. The growth rate in our containerboard business was even higher at 33.6%. In the fourth quarter, the corrugated board sales volume were basically stable compared to the prior year's fourth quarter due to capacity limitations. The container board volume continued to rise due to the further ramp up of the PM3 paper mill. This volume development and the higher price levels lifted sales to €394 million, which is 70% above prior year's fourth quarter sales. The fourth quarter sales represent again a new record high on a quarterly basis. With regard to EBITDA, we achieved an exceptionally strong increase of more than 150% compared to the fourth quarter of 2020. The quarterly EBITDA of €92.8 million could be realized due to the improved gross margins and the higher sales volume. The further sales price increases in the fourth quarter more than compensated the higher recovered paper prices. Both the quarterly sales and the fourth quarter EBITDA represent new records in ProGroup history. The higher EBITDA on the one hand and the higher sales on the other led to improved EBITDA margin of 23.6% in the fourth quarter. The net financial debt at the end of the fourth quarter of 2021 decreased further to €780 million. After €805 million at the end of 2020. As a consequence of the higher last 12 months EBITDA and the lower net debt, the net leverage decreased significantly to 2.9 after 3.8 at the end of the third quarter of 2021 and 4.5 at the end of 2020. The corrugated board and containerboard markets were in good condition in the fourth quarter. This resulted in good order intakes according to the typical seasonal pattern. The structural shift in the consumer behavior towards a significantly higher share of online purchases supported the demand for corrugated boxes. This general trend was accelerated by the corona pandemic, and we expect that the higher share of e-commerce will be maintained in the future. Additionally, the demand was supported by the general economic recovery. The continuing strong demand for containerboard led to further price increases in the fourth quarter. In total, our containerboard prices increased by 12%. The prices for corrugated board followed this development. In sum, the average corrugated board price of the fourth quarter were 8% higher than the average price in the third quarter. Prices for recovered paper showed moderate increases. The average recovered paper price of the fourth quarter was 6% above the average price of the third quarter. Further, significant cost items in our business, like energy and freight rates, increased considerably in 2021. Especially energy prices jumped in the fourth quarter of last year. We continue with the report of ProGroup's financial performance. On page 8, you can see the corrugated board volume development. The sales volume of corrugated board in the fourth quarter of 2021 was only slightly above the sales volume of the fourth quarter of 2020. The reason for the unusual small growth rate were capacity limitation and a very strong sales volume of the prior year's fourth quarter. The limitations from our current capacity will last until the startup of the next corrugated board plant, PW14, in the fourth quarter of this year. In the full year 2021, corrugated board sales volume increased by 11% to more than 1.5 million tons. The major growth driver was the new corrugated board plant in Eisfeld, Germany, but also the very high capacity utilization at our existing plant. In the fourth quarter, our containerboard sales volume increased again by 10.9% to 392,000 tons compared to the fourth quarter of last year. This development was basically driven by an increase of the external containerboard sales volume. As in the previous quarters, the increasing share of external containerboard sales are related to the startup of the PM3 paper machine. The higher share of external containerboard sales led to an integration level of 74% without the swap volume and 87% including the swap volume. These figures are only slightly below the previous year. The reason for the relatively high integration level only 1 year after the startup of the new PM3 paper mill is the strong volume development of our corrugated board business that drives the internal demand for container board. In 2021, the sales volume grew by 33.6% to 1,587,000 tons after 1,188,000 tons in 2020. The external sales volume almost doubled to 400,000 tons and the internal sales volume increased by 214,000 tons. On the next page, we have the quarterly sales development. The quarterly sales have shown very strong growth rates over the past four quarters. The basis of this development are the positive volume effects in both businesses and the elevated price levels we achieved, especially in the course of 2021. In the fourth quarter, we achieved a new quarterly sales record with 394 million euro. The growth rate was 10.6% versus the third quarter of 2021, an impressive 70% versus the fourth quarter of 2020. In the full year, sales rose to 1,357 million euro, which represents an exceptional growth rate of 54%. For the first time in ProGroup's history, we realized sales of more than 1 billion euro. Page 11 shows the sales bridge from the fourth quarter of 2020 to the fourth quarter of 2021 and the sales bridge from the third quarter to the fourth quarter of 2021. The growth rate of 70% compared to the fourth quarter of the prior year is a result of 16.7 million euro higher sales due to higher sales volumes and 145 million euro price effect. The volume effect is basically the result of 38,000 tons increase in the external containerboard sales volume. The price effect is based on approximately 40% higher average sales prices for corrugated board and 83% higher sales prices for containerboard compared to the fourth quarter of 2020. Compared to the third quarter of 2021, sales increased by 10.6%. This growth is driven by a volume effect of 1.1 billion euro and a price effect of plus 36.9 million euro. The volume effect includes the corrugated board sales volume decrease of 3,000 tons and an increase of the external containerboard sales volume by 6,000 tons. The lower corrugated board sales are related to the year-end effect, as deliveries of corrugated board typically end before Christmas. That means that the number of working days in the fourth quarter are lower than the number in the third quarter. The price effect is the result of approximately 8% higher average corrugated board prices and 12% higher average containerboard prices. On the next page, you can see the quarterly EBITDA and EBITDA margin development. In the fourth quarter of 2021, we achieved an EBITDA of 92.8 million euro after 70.9 million euro EBITDA in the third quarter of 2021. This excellent result is based on our strong operating performance and the favorable market conditions. Increasing costs for recovered paper, energy, freight, as well as other materials and maintenance were more than compensated by higher sales due to increasing sales prices for our main products. In total, EBITDA improved at an exceptional strong growth rate of more than 150% in the fourth quarter compared to the fourth quarter of 2020. For the full year, EBITDA soared by 53.4% to 273 million euro. The EBITDA margin increased by 370 basis points to 23.6%, the highest level in 2021. On page 13, you can see the long-term EBITDA margin development on the quarterly basis. The average EBITDA margin of the past 5 years was 23.2%. With 23.6%, the margin in the fourth quarter exceeded the long-term average for the first time since the second quarter of 2020. The very high nominal EBITDA in the fourth quarter of 2021 is subdued by the also very high sales. Therefore, the EBITDA margin is only 40 basis points above the long-term average, despite the record EBITDA in the fourth quarter. On the next page, you can see the cash flow development. The free cash flow in the fourth quarter was significantly higher than the free cash flow of the past 2 years. Following the strong EBITDA, the operating cash flow increased to 75.7 million euro after 32.6 million euro in the third quarter and 60.2 million euro in the fourth quarter of 2020. With the completion of the PM3 project, the cash flow from investing activity normalized in the course of 2021. As a result of the improved operating cash flow and the normalized cash flow from investing activities, free cash flow increased by approximately 20 million euro in the fourth quarter compared to the fourth quarter of 2020. On page 15, you can see the EBITDA to free cash flow waterfall for 2021. We achieved an EBITDA of 273.2 million euro. The cash flow from changes in current provisions was 15 million euro. The trade working capital increased significantly by 96 million euro. The cash flow from changes in other assets and liabilities was negative at minus 6 million euro. We paid 28.6 million euro income taxes, and the CapEx spending amounted to 112 million euro. As a result, the free cash flow for 2021 amounted to 43.8 million euro. After the completion of the PM3 expansion project, which led to negative free cash flows in 2019 and 2020, we returned, as promised, to positive free cash flows and started to delever after the expansion-driven increase of our net debt position. On page 16, we have the development of the net financial debt and net leverage of BroGroup. In the fourth quarter of 2021, the net leverage decreased again significantly to 2.9. Only three quarters after the peak in net leverage, we returned to our target corridor. This is much faster than anticipated, but proves once more the ability of BroGroup to successfully execute value-accretive expansion projects. The reason for the drop in net leverage is the strong increase of the last 12 months' EBITDA and the lower net financial debt. As communicated before, we expected that we temporarily leave the net leverage target corridor. This development was directly linked to the CapEx spending for our value-accretive expansion projects. Now that the strategic expansion projects are ramping up, they are contributing to the intended deleveraging. Due to the very positive EBITDA development and the strong free cash flow, we are already returned to the target corridor only 2 years after we left the corridor in connection with TM3 project. The next page gives a deeper view on the financial debt and finance costs. Compared to the 31st December 2020, the financial gross debt decreased due to the scheduled repayments of the loans outstanding plus the repayment of two loans in a total amount of 80 million euro. These two loans were repaid in full ahead of schedule thanks to the very strong cash growth in 2021. 30 million euro facility originally used to finance the TM3 investment with a final repayment date of 31st December 2023 was repaid in full at the end of 2021. The 100 million euro KfW facility was agreed in 2020 during the first phase of the coronavirus pandemic in order to have sufficient flexibility to cope with the uncertainty of the pandemic situation. An amount of only 50 million euro was drawn from the original amount. The full outstanding amount was repaid in the course of the fourth quarter due to the very comfortable liquidity position. Compared to the year-end 2020, the amount of undrawn committed bank facilities dropped by 105 million euro to 50 million euro at the end of 2021. 91% of the financial liabilities at the 31st December were denominated in euro and 9% in British pounds. Approximately 87% of the financial debt has fixed interest rates and 13% has variable interest rates. On page 18, you can see the quarterly development of the working capital. At the year end of 2021, our working capital decreased slightly to 219 million euro. Compared to the end of the third quarter of 2021, this represents a decrease of 5 million euro. The decrease is based on higher inventories of 19 million euro, lower trade receivables of 3.2 million euro, and 20.8 million euro higher trade payables. The lower trade receivables and higher inventories are related to year-end effects. Compared to the year-end of 2020, working capital increased significantly by 96 million euro, which is basically related to massive sales and raw material price increases and the buildup of inventories at the new PM3. The working capital as a percentage of sales decreased to 16%. On page 20, we present now the summary and outlook. At the beginning of 2022, we saw a robust demand for corrugated board and container board. The volume development, however, will be limited by the available production capacity. The increase in container board prices in the fourth quarter will lead to further corrugated board price increases in the first quarter of this year. For container board prices, we expect a sideways movement in the first quarter. Recovered paper prices are expected to show some further moderate increases in the course of the first quarter. Based on these expectations, we should be able to basically maintain the gross margins as the higher corrugated board prices are mitigated by higher recovered paper prices and higher energy costs. The growth project W14 is successfully ongoing. The project is in line with our expectations. We are currently working on the finalization of the production building. On the first picture, you can see the construction progress of the new PW14 plant and the existing PW7 plant. As mentioned before, we already started the next corrugated board project, PW15. This plant will be located, will be a corrugated board plant in southwestern Germany, located next to a packaging park customer. We are making progress in the preparation of the site and start with the construction of the building after winter. In the third quarter, we announced another fascinating new project. We started with the planning of a fuse-derived fuel combined heat and power plant at our PM3 site in Sandersdorf-Brenner. The CHP will supply a large air of the process steam and electricity for PM3 in the future. For this purpose, refuse-derived fuels from our own production and from the region will be thermally utilized. This will save valuable fossil resources and makes us more independent from external energy supply. Construction of the combined heat and power plant is scheduled to start at the end of 2022. It is set to be commissioned by the end of 2025. Regarding the corona pandemic, we continuously monitor and assess the situation. Fortunately, we have currently only minor impacts on our business. We are now at the end of our presentation and would be happy to answer any questions you might have on progress operations.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question today, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypads. If you have joined online, please click the request to speak flag icon. If you choose to withdraw your question, please press star followed by two. When preparing to ask your question, please ensure your phone is unmuted locally. And our first question today comes from Cole Hathorn of Jefferies. Cole, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. I'd just like to hear your thoughts on where energy prices are at the moment. Firstly, how does Pro Group manage those energy cost inflation for gas? And then secondly, how do you see this impacting the industry? I mean, there are a lot of much higher cost producers than yourself that will be more impacted by the rise in gas prices. And I'm just wondering if you've heard of any of these producers potentially taking downtime or pushing prices to offset this cost inflation as it'll shift up the cost curve. So just a question on energy costs. Thank you.
Energy prices before the war in Ukraine, energy prices have increased significantly above all we have seen before, and we thought we have already reached a peak level at the end of last year, and we saw some kind of normalization and in the course of January. But as you are probably aware, since the last 1 or 2 weeks, prices basically, especially electricity prices, exploded more or less, which could of course have a massive impact on the operations and the profitability, depending on the hedging position of the market participants. We are basically hedged to a good amount of 75% to 80% in terms of future contracts. Therefore, we will be only impacted with say approximately 1/4 of our energy demand from the massive price increases in gas and electricity at the moment. However, this will also have a negative impact on our operations, but it will be not that dramatic compared to a situation where you have a much higher share of unhedged amounts in the industry. So far, we haven't heard of shutdowns based on the higher energy costs so far, but the very dramatic situation is only a couple of days old. So many companies are still sorting out what happens, and nobody can have a crystal ball and say how long these prices will be maintained. I'm quite sure if the price level would stay at that level, the one or the other market participants has to react, but especially the ones who are not hedged or have a higher demand for energy in the spot market. At these price levels, if you have to buy the full amount in the spot market, it's hard to recover the full cost from the current sales price level. So we can't rule out that this would lead to higher sales prices, but at the moment, everyone is, from our point of view, still waiting a little bit and sorting out what it means for them. But it could have a massive impact on the market, if especially on those players who have no hedging in place.
We should take into consideration that the RDF power plant helps us a lot to stabilize, especially the energy cost for PM3, because the fuel costs for RDF are more or less the same, or we get the same money to burn this stuff. Therefore, we are happy to proceed with the project to establish a next RDF power plant in Sandersdorf as well. It makes us less dependent on fuel like gas oil.
It's a good point, having well-invested energy facilities, and you know, thank you for the color on what, you know, smaller players potentially either pushing price or, you know, taking downtime. But you know, how do you think, you know, the industry is going to react to this Fit for 55? I mean, you've already announced investments in your plants. You know, you've got newer facilities that are more energy efficient, so you're well placed on the kind of the longer term Fit for 55. But I'm just wondering if how the rest of the industry might adapt to the energy needs.
I mean, all players in Europe basically face the same conditions. I mean, we have to become CO2 neutral in a limited period of time, and with the long investment cycles we have in our industry, everyone is considering what can he himself do to come to the CO2 neutral position. I mean, it's much more straightforward in regards to electricity, because there are already solutions in the market at reasonable prices with the renewable energy sources like solar panels or wind parks. The question is what happens with the steam requirement. How can you produce steam in a large scale CO2 neutral? And this is more complicated because the current available technologies, they are not working for huge plants like ours. You can use biofuels for small applications, but not for huge industrial plants like a PM3 or so. Therefore, many players are speculating on green hydrogen in the future, but this is not available at the moment at the required quantities and still not at acceptable prices, especially if you consider that gas price would return to a more normal level in the short to midterm. So the question is what happens to the steam production. How can we produce steam CO2 neutral in the midterm future? And therefore there are many options in the market, but none of these options are really at the moment, from an economic point of view, very attractive, because it's just not available at this time. And so this is still an open point to be solved in the future.
Yeah, I think in general in the market, older, smaller mills will shut down at the end of the day, because the investment to improve your energy consumption and energy production is too high. So it will lead to a kind of outgrowing due to the energy costs.
Thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Richard Fellin of Deutsche Bank. Richard, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you very much. Continuing on the energy cost theme, can you just remind me what was the total energy costs in 2021 for the group, excluding your own internal generated energy source? And then can you confirm for the 75% that's hedged, I presume that's 75% of the 2002 expected demand. So is that a one-year hedge?
Yes, it's basically a one-year hedge. And the energy costs for last year were around 80 million euro. But this
okay,
is basically based on this was also approximately 75% hedged with the prices of 2020. So this 80 million euros did not reflect the full market price increase we have seen last year, but only a portion of that. So we expect a significant increase in 2022.
I see. But even with a significant increase, let's say your energy prices move to a market rate, and the basket is twice as high, and it's 160 million. You're still guiding to a roughly stable EBITDA margin.
Exactly. I mean, we are in a have a good market position at the moment. Markets are still in a good shape. Demand is healthy. From a coronavirus pandemic, we see some light at the end of the tunnel, or some countries think they are already through. So from this point of view, there are signs of economic recovery. On the other side, nobody knows what happens to the real economy from the war in Ukraine at the moment. So this is the uncertain element in terms of the projection. But beside of that, we are quite positive for 2022. We had a good start into the year. If there will be some kind of solution in Ukraine rather earlier than later time, this could lead to a good year 2022. If this will last for longer, nobody knows what happens to the European economy or the world economy at the end of the day from this crisis.
Understood. And last question, if I may. Assuming the business continues on the trajectory and your net leverage ratio by the end of 2022 is below the corridor, what sort of plans would you have for excess free cash flow at that point?
I mean, if in this scenario you are just pointing at the moment, I mean, we have had 2 years now with net leverage above the corridor. We could have the chance to be below the corridor in the course of this year. On the other side, we announced already a number of expansion projects like W14, 15, the power plant, and also in the midterm future, we still see many attractive opportunities in our market to further develop our business. And therefore, of course, this will also lead in the midterm future to increasing CapEx spending, even if they are not directly ahead of us. But we see many, many attractive growth opportunities also in our market sphere. So this is could be one possibility also to have the headroom for further expansion steps. And this is one of the things I could say at the moment.
Great. Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Richard. And our next question comes from Saul Casidio of M&G. Saul, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you. I just have really, really one, and it's a follow-up from Richard's question in terms of capital allocation plans. And the question is on a potential future PM4. First of all, the question is whether you see if there's a market opportunity so that your market is large enough to accommodate an additional PM. I guess the answer is yes, but I want to check that first. And if so, when do you think is the right time to add another PM to your business? Thank you.
I mean, we operate in a growing market. If you assume, say, 13 million tons in the European recycled container bus market, and you have a growth rate of 3 to 4% on average, maybe depending on the time, 3 or sometimes 4%, then in this means that an annual additional demand of around 1 million tons, and this is depending on the size of a machine, two bigger machines in the market, or one of our size and a smaller one. So, of course, there will be in the future the need for further capacity, especially if we consider that smaller and less efficient players will leave the market in the midterm. So the answer to the first question, yes, there will be need for further capacity in the future. The timing of potential next paper machine, it's hard to say. We just ramped up the PM3. One thing we have to consider is it's getting more and more difficult. We see this also from the corrugated board development of new projects, it's more and more difficult to find the right spots. So it's probably a longer period of time before we could ramp up a next machine. We have to start much earlier than in the past. We had a fantastic short period before once we started the PM3 project and ramped it up. So this was exceptionally short. A normal time takes much longer. So there will be a much longer lead time for next paper machine project. But at the moment, we can't say when this will happen in the future.
Okay, I appreciate. Maybe just a couple of other questions. One is just this morning, one of your peers indicated that they're starting to see a deceleration in the demand for corrugated driven by e-commerce. So I was wondering whether you are you're seeing in your engagement with your customers, particularly if you're starting to see this trend as well.
I mean, we are at the end of the day selling to a producer of corrugated boxes, so we are not probably not in the same market active than the peer you mentioned. So we don't know for each order whether this box will be finally used for e-commerce or other applications. So we have we are not that close to the end application like our customers are at the end of the day. So what we see that there is some kind of normalization of demand. It's not as overheated as it was last year, but it's still on a good level. There's a normal pattern with a strong January, some less strong demand in February, and we expect again pick up of demand towards the end of the first quarter. This is normal, typical pattern, and the demand is still on a good level.
What we can see is that our customers are also focusing or having more and more orders from e-commerce companies, but more from the small and mid-sized ones. It's not just the volume of Amazon and the big ones, which is important. It's more and more a channel business model for a number of companies to have kind of an online shop, for example. And they're using more boxes for running this business anyway.
Okay. No, thank you. Thank you for your insights. The last one is really on ESG. You mentioned that at the moment there's really no technology to produce steam in the scale that is needed for your business without emitting CO2. I appreciate that. Wondering, and apologies if I haven't followed your ESG progress, but wondering when you think you'll be able to come to the market, present a sort of ESG strategy. I understand the limitation that you just mentioned, but just want to have a sense if you think it's feasible at this stage, or you have to wait for some elements to be present.
We are working on a sustainability report, and the plan is to publish also a report in the course of the year. But it takes a couple of months before we finally do so. It will probably end of the second or in the third quarter when we will be able to present a more comprehensive view on that, and also some data you are mentioning, and some investors already asked for them. This is the current plan.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for the update. Appreciate it.
Thank you, and as another reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question today, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypads. If you have joined online, please click the Request to Speak flag icon. And our next question comes from Eric Vega of Score Investment Partners. Eric, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. Thank you. I had a few questions. So starting with just looking at your presentation in the last quarter, sales prices impact has been quite positive, as you noted. So I was curious, are your sales contracts structured in such a way that allow for the pass-through of some increased input costs to customers, or are they more so based on fixed prices that are renegotiated at the end of the contract term?
Our business is basically a spot business. So prices can be renegotiated basically every time. In fact, we change prices normally for a full month, but it can be changed theoretically at every day. Normally, the typical pattern is that we have an announcement period of a couple of weeks, 4 weeks or 5 weeks, and then this can lead to higher prices. On the other side, customers are also asking for lower prices if they feel that the market is moving downward. So it's basically a business in which leads to price adjustments in both directions as short notice.
Okay, that's helpful to understand. Have you noticed any impact on the demand in the geographic regions, I guess near Poland or the Czech Republic, as a result of the geopolitical conflict in the region yet?
No, it's not significantly at the moment, but it's still only a couple of days since the war began. So at the moment, there is no major impact from these regions. But maybe a little bit too early to be really precise and see what happens in the midterm.
Okay. I guess also just looking for a little bit greater clarity on another topic that you already covered. What level of capital expenditures could we expect for 2022 and beyond as you make progress towards the completion of the current projects that you discussed?
For 2022, it will be higher than 2021, but less than what we've seen in 2019 and 20. It will be rather in the range of 150 to 170 million euros, given the current portfolio of projects we have in place. For the midterm, we have not finalized the budget there, but it will be in that range of say, between 120 and or maybe 150 or 70, depending on the stage of the various projects.
Okay, that's very helpful. I don't have any further questions. Thank you.
Thank you. And as a final reminder, that's star followed by one on your telephone keypads. And if you have joined online, please click the request speak flag icon now. And our next question comes from Salik Ashitik of Citi. Salik, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much for taking my questions. The first one is, I know you confirmed that you don't do any business in the Russian-Ukraine area, but I was just wondering if you could confirm if any of your raw materials are sourced from that area aside from energy.
I mean, they have very, very small quantities of kraftliner from this area, but this is very, very small. Other things, for example, starch, we are purchasing not from directly from this area, but we don't know at the end of the day where our starch suppliers will source the wheat, which is the basis for our starch. So there might be an indirect implication. What we see at the moment is that many drivers from the Ukraine area are returning to their country, and these drivers are now missing in the market, and this leads to limited availability of trucks, and this is driving prices. Also, the fuel is increasing, so the freight market is impacted, and there could be also other markets, but we are not sourcing directly from this region.
That's helpful. And just on the starch, I mean, what percentage of your raw materials does that make up, just to get a sense of how much of an impact that could potentially have?
Let me just check. This is
sure. Whilst you're checking, if you want, I can ask another question.
Sure.
Yeah. So the other question I had was, how committed are you to that 150 to 170 million CapEx number that you just gave? As in, is that all committed now as of kind of today, or is there some flexibility in that number in case you need to cut back for whatever reason?
I mean, we committed the bigger projects, but they are not fully responsible for the total amount. But we would like to continue with this project. So I would say, depending on the progress of the project, it will be in that range. We could, of course, reduce smaller things, but the majority of this amount is more or less committed, and therefore, if we make the expected progress with the project, this should be end up in that range.
Okay.
Regarding starch, it's approximately 5% or so of our material cost of last year, or below 5%. Therefore, the impact is from a cost perspective is not that massive, but it can be at the end of the day a question of availability, because wheat is a growing product and you can't produce it every day, so it takes a while before it's grown. And if there are limitations on major suppliers, it will be hard to find other sources.
I assume that you won't. That will then impact your production, as in you probably have to stop production until you can source. It's not substitutable, it seems, from your comments.
I mean, you can use substitutes. I mean, you can use other types from start from potatoes or from corn, but if a major supplier is leaving the market, this of course will make it more complicated. I mean, we have contracts with our suppliers for at least the full half years, and so we don't expect a shortage, but this is a potential threat. But at the moment, we have no immediate signals that this will be realized, but you asked about an impact of the crisis.
Understood. That's really helpful. Just my final question, and I appreciate that this is very early days, and so you may not actually have much of an indication, but I was wondering if when you speak to your clients in Poland and Czech Republic, which are some of the bigger Eastern European countries that you do business in, there's obviously a spillover effect, not directly from the conflict itself, but rather from the sanctions, as many of those countries do quite a lot of business with Russia. Has there been any kind of indication from your clients in Czech Republic and Poland that there may be a decrease in demand as those economies suffer indirectly from the lack of being able to transact with, say, Russia and the Ukraine? So that may impact kind of your demand going forward. Has there been any indication like that, or even kind of hints that may come down the line?
I mean, the box market or the demand in corrugated board is directly linked to the GDP. And as long as we don't see a dramatic impact on the GDP, we see a stable demand in corrugated board. Maybe even it's a little bit higher in short notice because so many immigration comes from, or so many migrants coming from Ukraine to Poland, for example, and they have to be supplied with food and everything, so it can even lead to a little bit higher demand in a short notice.
Understood. That's very helpful. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. And our final question is a follow-up question from Cole Hathorn of Jefferies. Cole, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Okay, and thanks for taking the follow-up. I'd just like to kind of follow up on the CapEx number. And, you know, if I go back and think about your greenfield paper machine. You know, with hindsight now, given where CapEx is for a new project, could you give us a feel for, you know, if you were to go out to a supplier now, looking to do a similar project, you know, what would the CapEx cost be in kind of round numbers? I mean, would it be kind of 30% higher, you know, well into the $500-600 million type range, or more than that? I'm just trying to get a feel for how CapEx costs have moved for a greenfield. Thank you.
I mean, this is really hard to say because, I mean, prices moved a lot in the past 2 years, especially for construction prices have increased considerably. So this is it's also a question where you locate the new plant. So also the prices for industrial land differs a lot from place to place or even country to country. So it's really hard to say what would be the CapEx spending for a new machine, depending also on the region and the timing. If you have lucky to order the major components at a less good demand situation at the time, so this is would be really really rough guess now, and you can have a very broad range of numbers. You would now assume that you could build a machine in the longer term or mid-term future. So, but it's more likely that it is 500 million plus than much less than this. But this is only very, very rough guess. And then also it depends, of course, on the size of the machine.
I suppose another way to frame it would be to say, the timing that you've made this investment with hindsight has been quite good, because lower invested amount, better return on the capital that you've deployed. But would this change into the future, right? If you think about greenfield versus a conversion of potentially a mill that you might be able to purchase, would you be open to considering conversions, or will you stick with your view that you want to do greenfield new build projects into the future? Thank you.
I mean, in general, we are having a greenfield approach. It is our most important model, because it gives us a good long-term view and control of our costs. But you should never say no. If there might be an interesting opportunity, we will check it, of course.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was our final question. So I hand the call back over to Dr. Volker for any closing remarks.
Yeah, then thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, that you joined our investor conference for the fourth quarter and full year 2021. I'm happy that you joined us and that for the interesting questions as well. I wish you good luck and take care in these uncertain times, and I would be happy to hear you again on the next quarterly call, or see you maybe in person in one of our conferences. Maybe they can take place in the course of 2022. So thanks a lot and have a nice day.
Yeah. Thank you very much for the good discussions and the Q&A session, and hope to have a good quarterly talk next time as well. Thank you.